If you don't want to do that, then you're just a cow chewing grass out field. That's all you do is you consume food, and you don't do anything. The least amount of effort you do just to get through life. And you're going to be in a workhouse forever, eternally. You're going to be sorry that you didn't work fervently with Zeal on the side of eternity. So you, in order for you to do that, you have to go through the fire. You have to go through a breaking point. You have to become mortified and disconnected with this life, this world, that the Holy Spirit is the one that just takes you over and just so that God can work in you. And if you do, you can be well assured that you're going to be in heaven. You say, well, gosh, I don't know if anybody can do that if they want to, if it's your will. Amen?
Amen.
If I could, you can. Now, my whole family, they were very talented, but they just never reached the level of success in the world and in the spiritual realm as I have. And it's because I have a desire to be diligent and full of zeal, like the Lord commands. If you discount anything that the Lord says, you don't have zeal. You just don't have it. You're not made out of the right material. The Lord is going to test your mettle, too, to check you out. And that's what's happening every day of your life. And every day of my life. So therefore, I can't stop now because the Bible says that if we had done everything on the face of this earth and done wonderful works, and then we'd stop. Every good thing that we'd ever done in our life is erased, shot away, thrown into oblivion, and it doesn't count. It is accounted to us again now for sin because we know to do good and we don't do it. So there's no excuse. You can look sad. It doesn't mean anything. God spits on that. He says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Amen?
Amen.
You think God doesn't spit? Jesus says, I'll spit you out of my mouth because you're just like so much sputum. A goober. He'll spit you out like a goober. Okay? Slime. Slimy people that just think that God owes them a living and the world owes them a living and the people around them owe them something. Okay? The Bible tells us that we're really, without Him, we're nothing. We're chaff. Goats. Fodder to be burnt. Go ahead.
The educational purpose of the things that I've been telling you is trivial and minor when it is compared to this breaking or tearing.
In other words, the educational things I've been teaching, the Word of God, is nothing. It's trivial if you don't, if you're not going to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. What good is it for you to know everything about music, yet you don't play a musical instrument? What good is it for you to know everything about a dishwasher if you don't use the dishwasher? What good is it for you to know everything about food but you don't eat? What good is it for you to know the Word of God if you don't discipline and you just run amok like an Absalom? And you don't use the power and the truth that came with Jesus in this world. What good is knowing? It's trivial, the Word of God. Doesn't mean anything. The Bible even tells you, the Word of God tells you that the Word of God kills. If it's by the letter, if it's used by a person that hasn't got the Spirit, the discipline of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit in them. But only if you're in the Spirit and if you're disciplined by the Holy Spirit does it bring forth life. So the Word of God is trivial without the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Okay, go ahead and read that again.
The educational purpose of the things that I've been telling you is trivial and minor when it is compared to this breaking or tearing down of the person.
Right. In other words, the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The death of yourself. What you know doesn't mean anything. Because it's why the Lord tells the people are ever learning, always learning. They just love their minds to know things, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. They never want to be disciplined. They hate discipline, even when it's coming from the Lord, for their own soul to be saved. Then what?
The educational discipline causes us to have just only merely an opening or a little crack in the essence of ourselves.
Right, so you receive, well, yeah, the Word of God is right, the Word of God is right, it's right. So the little crack is open there, and you're receiving the inward knowledge of the Lord, and a little bit of the Spirit of God, but you still, you're not doing the will of God, so God starts disciplining you through an outward environmental situation that He creates for you to start wiping you out. And the sooner you receive then the discipline of the Holy Spirit, then the Lord can create a nicer atmosphere for you. Until then, suffer. Just suffer. Okay, then what?
While the breaking, smashing, and the tearing down or demolishing of us completely to our death is to end everything, all that is of the natural man and the natural constitution, or the old creation that is in us, will completely die, disintegrate. Therefore, breaking is the most severe step, as well as the final goal in the discipline of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry to say that in our midst, we haven't seen many people being disciplined by the Holy Spirit in such a severe manner, very few. Neither do many of us know the discipline of the Holy Spirit to such a smashing, ending degree.
And Susie said, well, the Lord's gotta be using you in a great way. I never saw anybody disciplined by the Holy Spirit as strongly as He disciplines you. Never before, she says, but she'd start laughing. She says, my God, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I was thrown from pillar to post. But I knew I couldn't fall because the Lord frightened me, scared me. He gave me too much fear of Him because I never believed He existed. And He showed me that He did. It was a shock. It shocked me. And I can't forget it. Okay? She said, you're going to be put through all these different things because you're going to be teaching people. And they're going to come to you and say, the devil's choking me, or the devil's doing this to them, or the Lord's doing this or that. And they're going to want to know if it's the Lord or the devil or what. And she said, you're being put through finishing school. She said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I've had so many visions, dreams, and wonders happen to me, not only from the Lord, but from Satan. And I had to quickly learn the difference between the voice of the devil, the voice of the Lord, and the voice of the Satan. And something that was of the Lord, a dream that was from Him, or a vision, and a dream or a vision that was from Satan. And I learned it quick. Because, I mean, it was the most horrifying thing to me, the things that were going on with me. And I know the average person that is a theologian, they don't know these things, because they chose the profession of theology on their own. That was the last thing I ever wanted to do. And the Lord took me and frightened me and put me into the ministry. Wasn't anything at all that I desired. Not at all. The Lord knows that I'm not telling a lie. I'm telling the truth. All right? Okay, then what else?
On the other hand, really it is actually contrary that which we see. We do see some who, the more they are disciplined by the Holy Spirit, the tougher and more built up in their own beings they become.
Yeah, they become violently evil. Like I've brought messages, some really strong messages in regard to being disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And right after it, there was a shouting match right in the congregation of a couple of sisters, just yelling and screaming at each other. They are never, probably, you know, hopefully they, I could say they might never be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. But they just yell and scream thinking that they're going to be justified by the amount of the tinder of their voices, and saying false things about one another. those are the ones that really need it, and those are the ones that hate it the most. Okay, then what?
This is a very wrong condition. The normal thing, or normality, the more a person is disciplined by the Holy Spirit, the more he or she is terminated or dies. So the end result of the discipline of the Holy Spirit is always that we may be torn down, brought to an end, broken, reduced to nothing but ashes. Our old self is dead. It is through the discipline of the Holy Spirit that God completely tears...
You know, most people can't get it through their heads. You have to go to a funeral, look at a person in a casket. And then if you slap them in the face, see if they're going to do anything to you. Hmm? Could they?
No.
Or you just sit there and say, you dirty rat. You dirty rat. You never was anything, you scum. And they just lay there. That's dead. Amen?
Amen.
You know something? You are a phony. You're a liar. And it could be a truthful person. And they just don't do anything. And then you could take an unruly person that's dead too and say those things to them. And ordinarily, if they were alive, they'd come at you just like a tiger. But they're not going to say anything now, because that's the only time in their life, and they're not alive anymore, that they're dead. Amen?
Amen.
You have to live to die so that you can be resurrected in the Spirit so the Lord can live. Amen?
Amen.
Says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen?
Amen.
And until that happens, you just want to hold on to your life for dear life. Those that gain their life shall lose it. Amen?
Amen.
But those that lose their life shall do what?
Gain it.
Gain it. Gain eternal life. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yes.
Okay, so wake up. Some people can't even read or write, and yet they think they're intelligent. So intelligent that they needn't listen to what the Lord says. They needn't follow his... they listen to what he says, but they don't do it. And that's their fatal mistake. That's their fatal belligerence, rather. Okay, then what?
It is through the discipline of the Holy Spirit that God completely tears down, puts to an end our old self, our old creation, so that the element of his new creation, the very quiescence of the element of his new creation, may develop in us.
See, God wants his element in us. His element, not our element. He wants his element. This table is made out of wood. We're made out of flesh, bone. And he wants him to live in us. And not us to be there at all. In order for him to move in, we have to be gone. We don't belong to ourselves. We can't just invite Jesus in and share the room with him. He has to come in and take it over completely. Where he doesn't want to rent our house for a month or two. He wants to own us forever. Amen?
Amen.
This isn't a rental situation. He wants you dead and he wants you out of there. He wants to evacuate you. He wants to, what they call it, to kick you out of the house so that you can be, that he can be in there. Amen? Get out. You don't want to get out? Then I'm not going to live in you. If I'm not in you, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. And I'm full of zeal, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm full of diligence and vigilance, and I'm full of the Father. And we want to come in, and you don't want to. You think that you're more important to live in there than we are? Well, then you are not going to go to heaven. Okay, stubborn person. Oh, there's a lot of you in the world. And the Lord, he's just got very strong patience, because he knows that you're going to be snuffed within 50, 60, 70 years. And if you have more strength, 80. And time goes by real fast. He's going to see you pretty soon, and he'll say, hi. He can wait patiently. He's got all, not even time, he has eternity. Time will be ended for you, but then eternity will never end for you, or me, or anyone else. Okay, then go ahead.
If we consider the discipline of the Holy Spirit as merely a chastening or a spanking or a spiritual education, then this kind of discipline will cause man to be built up and perfected. It will seem, then, that one who originally was incomplete has become complete through being disciplined by the Holy Spirit, or that one who originally was in a poor condition, after having been disciplined by the Holy Spirit, has really gotten right, shapened up before the Lord. So notwithstanding, the discipline of the Holy Spirit was never intended to do this. On the contrary, the discipline of the Holy Spirit was given to us to completely smash every one of us who are whole, and to mess up, jack up the one who was in such perfect shape. Because
the Lord doesn't want you perfect. He wants you dead. Huh?
Yes.
The more you try to be perfect, the more you're going to goof up. Amen?
Amen.
Try to be good. Try to be good, Johnny. Doesn't it say, Johnny, be good? Amen?
Amen.
No, you're not going to be good. No one's good but Christ. That's why you have to evacuate. You have to be given notice. Get out. Let me live in here, okay? Then what?
Because no matter if we're perfect or imperfect, we still come short of the Lord. We have to die. If we're perfect, the perfection has to die.
Yeah, because it's your perfection, what you consider perfect. You understand? That has to be smashed. You have to be gone. Then what?
The original intention of the discipline of the Holy Spirit is not to build us up, but to tear us down. Therefore, if a person is always gentle, the Holy Spirit will trouble him to such an extent that he can no longer be gentle.
If no, he's going to come out fighting. Because it's him. So he is—he has a facade of gentleness, but if somebody gets in an environment where there's agitation and a bunch of people that are just irritating him all day long, eventually he's going to snap. Amen?
Amen.
He's not going to be gentle anymore. He's going to start yelling and screaming. That's him. Amen?
Amen.
He's still alive. So the gentle person, all that was a facade. Okay? Go ahead.
If there is one who never contends with others, the Holy Spirit will trouble him to an extent that he is forced to contend or be contentious. Never ever think that because a person is not gentle, he is therefore being disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Some people are always gentle, yet the Holy Spirit raises up an environment to disturb them and compel them to stop being gentle, even causing them to lose their temper in a very rash way.
Because their gentleness is them. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord doesn't want them to be them. He wants them dead, and he wants to live in them. Amen?
Amen.
And then all of a sudden they find out that they're not gentle anymore. That they're irritated, agitated, got bad tempers. He doesn't want that either. He wants them smashed because that's their bad temper and what they think is bad. But if I'm going to be enraged about something, it's not going to be me because I'm dead. It's going to be the Lord enraging me over something, okay? And well, I let that happen in me, all right? Or if I'm gentle, and people can't understand sometimes why I'm gentle. They say, this person did this, and this person did that, and this and that, and this and that. I can't understand why you're being nice to them. Well, because you can't, because you're alive. You're not dead. And the Lord's not working in you. That's why you can't understand anything. You have no understanding of the spiritual realm. Because you're carnal. All you can see is just what you think is what you and your carnal brain thinks. And the thing that you're just operating on, your feelings, you're alive. You don't give anybody credit for being dead and resurrected in the spirit. You just don't give anybody credit. You should be congratulating somebody that's walking in the spirit. Okay, then what?
This rash losing of their temper is a kind of smashing or breaking in their regard.
Because they wake up and say, oh my God, I'm a gentle person. Here I am doing things that I shouldn't be doing. They shouldn't have been gentle. Because a lot of times they're gentle. It's like this woman says about the Pope, bless his heart. She's so gentle. And yet she's angry at me because I tell her what the Word of God says. So she's not dead. She's very much alive. And her opinion is very bad. Her opinions are that the Pope is a blessed man and that I'm an evil person for preaching the Word of God and doing what God says. Amen?
Amen.
So at the risk of causing our piano teacher and violin teacher to flee from this place and say, I'm not teaching your people anything. I did it, you know. I didn't rub it in too much. I just gave her some food for thought. All right? Because that's all the Holy Spirit wanted me to say. Okay, then what else?
The reason God breaks us is that all our natural element, the very quiescence of us, has no place before God.
No, and God doesn't mingle himself with you. He says you have a spirit, but it has to be your temporary spirit of life is all that means. But he wants you because your spirit is very sluggish and it doesn't know anything. And it's very feeble because it can't do a thing. And it doesn't think right. So that's why we have to put on the Bible, the mind of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And to let him do the living in us and thinking. Okay, then what?
The gentleness, obedience, and the other good points of some people are of the natural constitution and are by virtue of birth. Some people are born with a good temper. Therefore, they receive praises from man and esteem themselves praiseworthy, not knowing that such a natural good trait is the greatest hindrance to the work of the Holy Spirit within them,
right,
inside.
They're gentle towards evil. They're gentle towards everything, except the Word of God. Okay? Receiving the Word of God is a shock to them. It troubles them, really. Oh my God, you mean to say I'm wrong after being gentle all these years? And not fornicating, or not committing adultery, or not stealing, or anything, you still need to let Christ take over inside, okay? Your good deeds are as filthy, stinking, menstruous cloths to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Your good works are as filthy rags. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yes.
Okay, then what? That's why he wants them dead. Good works, even. Your good works are like filthy rags? Yes. Well, what about our evil works, then? Filthy rags. You know, they all have to be smashed. Amen?
Amen.
Do you understand? Okay, go ahead.
Thus, their spiritual life is retarded. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will raise up an environment or many environments against them again and again to irritate them and cause them to lose their temper. There is a day coming when
this is their temper. It isn't the Lord pouring out wrath. It's their temper. And they can't understand anyone that is allowing the Lord to rebuke and reprove through them because they say, oh, you got a bad temper. Oh, I do? Oh, I see. Okay. I see. We're just supposed to... That's what you think. You need to die. Okay, then what else? You need to experience walking in the Holy Spirit so that you know what people of the Lord are doing. All right? And so that you can condone what they're doing. Some people just hate certain tracts that I write. We love some of them, but some of them are better than others. Well, How could that be if the Lord has given them to me? Amen?
Amen.
Got to be all right if it's of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe some of them don't get to you, but I assure you that they get to others. Amen? Or else the Lord wouldn't have me put down just empty words. All right, what else?
There is a day coming when a person like that can no longer bear all the irritations, the trials. They will lose their temper in a very rash way. Then they will be discouraged, feeling that having lost their temper so badly, they can no longer serve the Lord, and their future will be terminated. They don't know that while they are afraid of being terminated, the Holy Spirit fears lest they will not be terminated.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit fears that, oh my God, maybe they're not going to die. They're afraid they're going to die, but the Lord fears that they won't die. He wants you to die, and he fears that you're not going to receive it. You get some half-wits, they sit there and look at you with narrow eyes. Doesn't matter if the Lord says it. It's their unmitigated stupidity, okay, and anger against God. Okay, then what?
The Lord wants them to be terminated, dead. The reason the Holy Spirit continually irritates and pressures them is that they may be terminated. This is the severe nature of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. When we have experienced the Lord more, we'll have to agree that the discipline given us by the Holy Spirit, whether it be chastening or educational, the reason for it is to break us. Actually, there is neither chastisement nor education. All the discipline of the Holy Spirit is for the tearing down and the breaking of us or terminating us. Only if I or you define them are we able to categorize them into the three different aspects of chastisement, education, and breaking. In fact, after all is said and done, the discipline of the Holy Spirit has only one purpose, and that is to tear us down and break us to pieces, to where we're terminated or no longer us. We are the new creation. So this is the primary purpose of the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and therefore it is for the breaking. It does not necessarily have to do with any mistake on our part. The Lord disciplines us regardless of our mistakes. Of course, if we are disobedient, the Lord is going to deal with us. However, if we are obedient, we will still be dealt with by the Lord.
Because we always have to be led by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So we can't get puffed up if we did something, one thing good in a day, and nothing the rest of your life. Okay, we have to let the Lord do his good work in us all day long, every day. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's too much work for the lazy person. Well, you'll either be on fire for the Lord here, or you're going to work forever in eternity. And I'm guaranteeing that's a workhouse. A workhouse. And then what?
The Lord's purpose is not only to correct us or to cause us to be obedient, but to break us to where we're dead. The Holy Spirit mortifies us. The basic purpose of the Holy Spirit's discipline is for breaking, mortifying. The more whole or complete a person is, the more that person needs to be torn down, mortified, dead. It seems that those whose behavior is so disorderly that they do not need his disciplinary breaking, since they're already full of wounds.
Yeah, God has punished them so many times that they are getting an inferiority complex and they don't think they can possibly die. They're near death, though, and they just don't know it.
It seems that those whose behavior is so disorderly that they do not need his disciplinary breaking, since they are already full of wounds. They need only a deep repentance on the day they are enlightened. Rather, the person who has never done anything wrong or has never fallen, a person like this, who's that whole and well-behaved, is such a person that needs the striking or the smashing, beating, dealing, breaking of the Holy Spirit, death through the environment until he becomes totally smashed and dead, or when he's expired his old self, or that he's put to an end, terminated. God's salvation is very special. It's very important. It's special. On one hand, he needs the goodness of ourselves, but on the other hand, he breaks it, smashes it, terminates it. According to the human point of view, this is really confusing and contradictory. When a person disobeys the Lord God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit wants them to obey. But when he is obedient, God smashes his obedience. If a person is not gentle, God wants him to be gentle. But when he becomes gentle, God smashes his gentleness. When we do not love him fervently, he wants us to be fervent in loving him, and he will draw us to love him.
Then after we love him, he wants to smash that. Huh? Because it's us. Okay? He knows the Son loves him. And when the Son is the only one alive in us, then he's very content. Okay? Because a lot of people say, I love the Lord. Go ahead.
Yet when we love him fervently, he breaks us to pieces, smashes us, terminates us.
Yeah, because it's us. He doesn't want anything. Does a person that's laying in a casket love?
No.
Okay, so if they start loving, they have to be smashed, amen? Get back in there. And then what?
In God's leadings, the work of God always seems so contradictory, so confusing. Yet this contradiction is exactly the very breaking, working, discipline of the Holy Spirit, and it's for us. Therefore, when we experience these lessons, we must pay special attention to the aspect of breaking or smashing, tearing down, being mortified, dying. We need to be able to see that although the discipline of the Holy Spirit has the twofold purpose of chastisement and education, nevertheless, the ultimate purpose is the breaking, the smashing, the tearing down. The ultimate is to terminate us, put us to an end. To put it simply, all the discipline of the Holy Spirit is for our being terminated, being broken, the breaking of the cross or the termination of the cross. He breaks,
which is the same thing as the Holy Spirit putting us to death. Walking in the Holy Spirit, carrying the cross. The cross is the Holy Spirit. And therefore, once you're dead and you're in the Spirit, you're perfect. I don't care what anybody on TV says. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says you're perfect. Because you're not a walking at all according to anything of yourself. It's all the Holy Spirit. Then what?
He breaks us whether we are right or wrong. He breaks us whether we are obedient or disobedient.
Yeah, because it's you. A person laying in a casket is not obedient or disobedient. Amen?
Amen.
Now if the person rises up, like Lazarus did, that isn't him doing it, it's the Lord in him. The Lord's life in him doing it. Amen?
Amen.
It has nothing to do with him. It says, when the Spirit of the Lord entered into the two witnesses, they stood up on their feet. Amen?
Amen.
Not their own spirit, but the Spirit of life. Eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
He breaks us whether we are rebellious or not. Before God, our evil is worth nothing, and so also is our good deemed to be nothing. I'm talking about our good. God is the only one who's good. Our being wrong is worth nothing because it's ours, and so is our being right. Both our disobedience and our obedience are worth nothing.
Self, self, self.
Both our rebelliousness and our submissiveness are worth nothing. These all need to be broken, smashed, terminated, because it's ours. The discipline of the Holy Spirit is entirely for the breaking or the terminating of the brothers and sisters, the people of God.
All right, people of God. And so if you receive that, you're much closer to being blessed by the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
And so until chapter 17 of 2 Samuel, which God willing will be, we'll do later on today, and also part five of receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit, keep all these things in mind. I'm Tony Alamo, pastor, teacher, evangelist, minister of the gospel. I'm saying to you, all those of you who are walking in the Spirit of the Lord and dying daily, bearing about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, being resurrected from the dead, God bless you and praise the Lord.